final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run, because when them old boys raise them shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies, and we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raise on shotgun, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. Skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Buddy, you're listening to Shazizz. I'm out here in my mad science laboratory. I hope everybody around the world's doing well and all that kind of stuff. And you know, if I look out my window, I don't see anything going on outside. It's so peaceful here. I guess I'm one of the most fortunate on the planet. You know, it's I got so many projects going on. I got plenty of time to. Well, I ain't really got no time to kill, but anyway, I got enough to keep me busy. I don't have to worry about a whole lot of stuff. Anyway, the only thing that I know about what's going on in the world is what my friends from around the world tell me and what I find out through the alternative media and the mainstream media. And from the sounds of it, you know, from the outside of my little bubble here, so to speak, the whole world seems to be just fine. I mean, in chaos, total chaos, when in my little circle right here, it's just fine. When I say just fine, I mean just like the average, you know, average life. You know, you always got all kinds of things going on whenever things are going on. You know, dramas with your children and such, you know, and bills to be paid, and you got to get this done and that done at a certain time, or the rain's coming in, and you got to do something before it rains, or whatever, you know. But as far as prepping for, you know, a natural disaster or man-made disaster or whatever, I think we're set up pretty well. And I would hope that the rest of the world out there, you know, would have something in place for them. And I'd hope that all these shows that we've done on the mad science has given you some sort of insight towards electricity, so that you could at least charge some batteries to keep some flashlights going on. I did a video called Simple Solar, and that was a really good video that basically talked about you don't have to have millions of dollars to get a little bit of solar going on, where you can still have some power even if things go awry. But keep in mind that way back in the day, you know, before they ever even had electricity, people did okay. You know, the world wasn't that bad. It was a little harder. You had to do things, you know, manually for the most part, or mules or oxen that you could drag plows with and that kind of stuff. But somehow or another, mankind overcome all these adversities. Now here we are in the golden age of my life, as far as I'm concerned, and the golden age of technology. We're like right in between the old advancements all the way up to the newest advancements. To me, it's an exciting time. And as I listen to the mainstream media and all the different alternative medias out here, I would think that the whole world is just ready to collapse. Well, if indeed it is ready to collapse, then, you know, preparation would be a really good thing to do. I put this network together, Shaziz Radio Network, as a platform to bring all these brilliant minds from all different directions. And so, you know, with that said, it's just, whoa, we got a call. Anyway, we got Thomas on here. Let me finish my thought here, brother.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I put this network together because I wanted a platform for all the brilliant minds coming from all over the world. I know that together, there's nothing that we can't solve. You know, and there's all kinds of solutions and options available to us. We have technologies that we didn't have access to before. And, you know, it's just, this is a stepping stone to the ultimate dream of taking care of one another around the globe. And what I want to ask all the people out there, the listeners and the hosts and all that kind of stuff, you know, no matter what goes on in this world, at least try to keep the dream alive. You know, bickering and infighting and all the crazy stuff that goes on, you know, I'm like a sponge, man. When I get out there and I see and hear things being said to one another, you got to understand, I feel it all. And I want to see this dream fulfilled all the way to the end. I want to see free energy for everyone. I want to see peace and love in the world. Maybe I'll never get to see that. But either way, this is the stepping stone that I placed out there. And I know other people have placed other stepping stones out there. You know, in the free energy and the alternative energy community, I know that free energy exists 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's not one single soul on this planet with any laws of physics or anything that could convince me otherwise. Of the things that I've seen in my lab and the things that I've seen that other people's done in their labs, You know, minus the knuckleheads out there trying to put batteries up inside something to convince you that they got something cool. But, you know, we got to get past all that. But in the alternative energy community, if the holy grail of electricity was to be presented out there to mankind, you know, it has to be done in such a way that the man can't suppress it. I've had this argument with people before that they don't believe that old technology is suppressed. Well, maybe it's not necessarily suppressed per se, but maybe it's swept underneath the rug. Maybe it's put in the back of the storage room where it can't necessarily benefit mankind until somebody sells off enough oil that they, you know, they're down to the last few drops and they're not worried about it because they already got a backup plan, such as a really cool, you know, atomic generator or a hydrogen generator or a carburetor that'll go, you know, 100 miles to the gallon or more.
So you're talking about basically two different aspects. One is the beta versus VHS argument.
Yeah.
Where beta was superior, but, you know, because it just didn't catch the populace's attention, they never got the benefit from it. You know, no one said, you know, no one jumped up there and championed for it to get it out there. So, you know, it just kind of disappeared, as opposed to the AMD and Intel theory that, you know, they're not going to make something available on the market until they milk that old cow to death.
Exactly.
And so, which I want to go back to something though. Now that you know, I've got a word in edgewise here.
Go ahead,
about
buddy.
What you said about sponge, man. You know, everybody out there, no matter how much they think they are or aren't, or think somebody else is or isn't, is a sponge. I mean, we're part of the ecosystem, and you know, either you're. This is the thing is that, you know, it may not look, a person may not look like a sponge because they're saturated. And I mean, at the moment, because we're not actually, you know, just sponges, that means that once we're saturated, we've only got one choice. We've either got to squeeze all that stuff that's in us out, or we drowned, you know.
Brother, that's why I love you so much. You got such common sense. I mean, I wish the common sense was more common, you know.
Yeah, there is a meme floating around out there saying that common sense is so rare as to be almost be like a superpower. So
yeah, so those with common sense are like above the crowd, so to speak, as far as you know, the lucky ones.
I see a lot of people with common sense that just don't see it as, you know, as anything special or you know, beneficial because of the, you know, the coined phrase common sense, you know. I mean, if you've got it, you should use it. You should definitely put it to the forefront because that's probably one of the most powerful tools you've got, you know, aside from language, being able to, you know, discuss and transmit ideas.
There's one other superpower that that the people of the world got that I just wish they'd use all the time, you know. And if you ever notice that in any crisis, real crisis, not manufactured via, you know, blue screen or green screen or anything like that, real crisis where you're right there and something is really going on, you will see a rally of people. Some people will jump into danger without even remotely thinking about it just to save another human life, you know, and they will work with one another, you know, not for one another, but with one another.
Oh, what's worse is there are people, though, that won't jump up to help a human. They could care less if they see a human suffering, but they'll jump up and help a kitten.
Well, yeah, and that's
they'll save a tree before they'd save a human being, you know.
That's kinda...
whether the tree is really in danger or not, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah, save the trees. If somebody wants to save the trees.
They'll go to look for something that, you know, doesn't need any help. That's not human, just to avoid helping another human being, you know?
Well, it's kind of sad, man. It's kind of sad because,
these are drowning people. This is what I was saying. This sponge, they're completely saturated. So, you know, the general term that people use for these people is, you know, stony heart or jaded, you know?
Yeah.
But what's going on is they're at the bottom of a well of this stuff and they're drowning, you know? Unless they're, you know, a psychopath, which may very well be that's a side effect of being, you know, being drowned, being completely, I mean, you've been down there so long, you're no longer a sponge anymore, you've rotted away, and there's nothing left to them that they can absorb anything anymore.
Well,
because somebody let you drown.
I kind of look at it like adaptation, you know. You know, when you're in a particular, like, let's say something went awry. I lost my home out in the country, and I was forced to move to the city, and the neighborhood the only neighborhood I could afford was the roughest neighborhood. I would have to adapt into that society. Otherwise, you know, I would get eaten alive. And so I'd have to learn the tricks. I'd have to learn which streets not to go down and which ones to go down, so on and so forth. But humans have the capability of being able to adapt to those. But after a while, you kind of become that system, you know. If you're not careful, you get so absorbed into that system, you know, now things that you wouldn't normally think would be all right, you know, you're doing. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, and it's possible that it's learned or not. The one trap you have to learn not to fall into when it comes to psychopathy and sociopathy is, you know, that you can fix these people. Because if you're not in the field of that medicine, you don't have the ability to heal that person. Nobody has come up with a way to heal those people yet, so you've got to triage that out of your life.
Well,
you can't help all those other people out there if you let somebody siphon the lifeblood out of you.
Would I
because
be?
They really don't care, and they'll just throw it away, you know, for you know, coke and hookers.
Would I be correct in saying that's kind of like that phrase, walking the mile in somebody else's shoes? You can't, from the outside, you can see their life, and you can't, you want to try to help them out or something, but you can't necessarily help them out unless you're in their shoes, because, you know, they're used to a survival situation that they are dealing with the only way they know how. Am I wrong?
Well, right, but I mean, here's the cold hard facts, though. Unless you find a way to swap your brain out with their brain, there's no way you can do that. There's absolutely no way you can do that. So that is a trap someone can use in order to trigger this most honorable of emotions that humans have, called guilt, in order to milk you to death. You can't let someone do that. Let's put it this way, okay, there are full-grown men and women out there that are fully capable of taking care of themselves, and they are willing to take you to the cleaners. In fact, I can tell you exactly where you can find the highest concentration of them you can find is in politics.
Yeah.
These people will milk you to death, they will steal from you, they will murder your unborn babies before they're even born. Okay, they'll set up the guillotine to basically the tax and the inflationary guillotine to steal their wealth and kill those children long before they're ever even born, and then they will walk off and paint pictures of kittens because they have no conscience.
Well, that's why everybody needs to vote for Congressman Bongwater.
Well, no, this is the thing, though. There are children out there that you could be helping by working on something that's, you know, legitimate, that will help the populace if you'll stop letting these people steal from you and destroy you. And I mean, the best way you can do this is to go, you know, just do some research on how to read and identify these people, you know, to see them for what they are.
Yeah.
Don't let people, you know, learn about the little facial tics and stuff like that. Like there's one that's called Duper's Delight, and that's where somebody has lied to you and gotten away with it. And as soon as they feel that they've gotten away with it, you'll see a little smile spread across their face, even though they should be totally devastated at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, like that total psychopath woman that, you know, just murdered her children, and she's managed to trick the courtroom into believing that, you know, it was an accident. And for just a second, through all the crying and, you know, everything else that she's putting forward to stage that all, you'll see a little smile on her face.
Man,
it's only a brief instant, but they can't control it. It's like a tick; it comes out. You got to learn how to spot these things, and then you don't attack, you don't go after, you don't waste resources on these people in a negative attempt either. You spend your resources on solving these problems you were just talking about. You know?
Yeah, I guess you're right, man. And I actually learned something from you. You know, I've said this many, many, many times that, you know, like I said, I'm like a sponge. When I'm around happy people, I'm happy. When I'm around negative people, I'm negative. And, you know, it can be a hindrance to the ultimate goal. And, you know, I put this platform together to bring brilliant minds together, you know, and it was doing pretty good. I think it's doing pretty good now. I mean, we have our speed bumps, roadblocks, and that kind of stuff there, but, you know, I think I could be so much further along in my research if I wasn't so worried about trying to save the world, you know. There's a deal in the Bible where it talks about a man who tries to save himself will surely lose his life, and that's probably just paraphrasing it. I don't know if you've ever read that, but it's in there somewhere.
Right.
But my goal isn't to save my own life. My goal is to try to save the world, you know, and I know that's an overwhelming task. And part of
you have a condition where basically you're flipped inside out, where the world is you.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that. That the less a person has that, the more psychopathic they are. So, you know,
well,
and I think that's kind of what that little parable you were talking about was really about.
Yeah, it's, you know, just I'm a human being, and so are you. I just can't look out into the world or listen to things that's going on and not be concerned. You know, if somebody out there is in need, I'm doing all right, Thomas. You know, I'm not doing without. I mean, I don't live in the Taj Mahal. Well, the Taj Mahal is actually a tomb. I didn't want to live there. I don't live in a mansion, or, you know, I'm not like, you know, swimming around in big bucks or anything like that. But I got enough to keep me going and surviving and stuff. And I'm fortunate enough to live out in the country. But, you know, I can't look out into the world and I can't listen to things that are going on and not have any compassion or empathy for my fellow human beings out there, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy, when I go to a party, if I'm having fun, I want everybody else to be having fun too, you know. If I'm doing all right in life, I want everybody else to, I'm a Christian, but I still kind of think about that whole astrological Libra thing, you know, because it's kind of ironic. There's a scale on there, you know, the scales of justice, and they always have to be balanced out, or I'm not where I need to be in my life, you know what I mean? Is that crazy talk or what?
Well, the astrological thing, I think, has more influence over people because of a scientific aspect of it that everyone has pretty much ignored. The human brain is essentially manipulable because it's made out of atoms by radiation. And the astrological signs and the other stars that are around them are just, you know, patterns of radiation. If you hit an EEPROM, that's a, you know, erasable, programmable memory chip with patterns of radiation, you can cause corruption in it. And, you know, as we're growing, the patterns that we start out and the traces that lays upon our brain as we live our lives creates basically specific patterns of corruption that end up becoming, you know, our ability to imagine, our ability, our personality, our likes, our dislikes, stuff like that. And that's what the seeds of all that come from. So you can tell what kind of a person is based upon what time of the year they basically started their brain development in their mother's womb. But, you know, it predicting the future, you know, that's kind of ridiculous.
Well, Thomas, you got some amazing talent, man. I've talked to you for quite a long time. We've kind of been friends for a while out here, you know, but I'm the kind of guy, whenever I look at people and their works and that kind of stuff, and whenever I went to your website and looked at all the things that you do, and it's just, I'm just amazed. I'm simply amazed. And I know that every average Joe out there has capabilities, talents to do all kinds of things. And, you know, so with that said, you take your talents and you try to benefit the world with what you've got to work with, and I do the same. My talent would be within the mechanical world, you know, how things actually tick, you know, and I'm trying to figure out solutions how I can put some sort of pumping system to get irrigation and water over to countries that, you know, are needing to be able to farm or something like that. The best case scenario is I move them over to my neighborhood where we got some water already ready for them, you know. But since that's not plausible, I need wanting to design something to benefit people clear across the world that I may never even meet in my life. You know?
Right.
And I thought, I still think that that's what this whole thing is all about, you know? I still think that that's why we do what it is that we do, because we came here to Awake Radio, No Borders, and Shake and Wake, and We Roar, and all the different networks out there. No Borders, I think I already said that. But we came together for a common purpose, to try to make the world a better place, because we've seen and heard and that there was things going on in the world that, you know, concerned us, and we wanted to make a difference. My little portions of making a difference is that I tinker with all kinds of different appliances and stuff, and I find alternative uses for them. Plus, I'm doing research into my Tesla and plasma reactor stuff, you know. But the ultimate goal to me is to benefit all of humanity. And that's it isn't because I'm better than anybody else out there, or even more qualified or lesser qualified, or you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It's because I give a damn. You know?
Right. You're willing to actually put forth some effort. And then to the person who's put no effort into something, what you do, when the longer you do something, the more like magic it looks like that you're doing. You know, it doesn't look like something they could do. It's all just, you know, perspective. It's like looking at a mountain. The further away from the mountain you get, the less detail you can see about the mountain, the more mysterious it looks.
Well, I want to see those individuals that you're talking about actually get out there and try life, you know? Try experiments and learn. And life is such a wonderful gift.
Hold on. Back up with the experiment. You don't have to experiment. You can just find something that you want to do and jump into it. I mean, like I said, it's as simple as that idea of getting yourself one of those sheet metal hole punches for $30 at Wholesale Tool or Harbor Freight, and turning plastic and thin sheet metal and stuff like that into buttons. I mean, you know, that's a skill at that point. The moment you've done that, you'll begin to see other things you can use that hole punch for. You'll begin to experiment maybe with that hole punch and see if you can make odd-shaped holes by putting several holes together, you know. I mean, it's all just a progression, you know. From there, you know, you pick up a pair of end nippers and, you know, figure out how to use those for things. And, you know, maybe figure out, you know, hey, if I make a little bit of a change into a pair of pliers, I don't have to just grab things with it. I can actually reshape them with it. I mean, it's all adding skills to your tool set. And let your imagination take over. What can you do with these new skills and these new tool sets you possess now? You know, the knowledge is key to it. You have to have a little bit of knowledge to launch into the imagination to develop more knowledge.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, every little nugget that you can get out there of information, I mean, you know, they say knowledge is power, and I kind of believe it, because, you know, if you know a lot of things, you know a lot more than the average Joe does, because they didn't pay attention in school.
Right. Well, and this is the thing, too, man. A lot of people will struggle with things that maybe they didn't pick up yet, right? And it's because they're trying to use their conscious mind on, you know, so many different things that are important to them in their life, that there's just not enough left over of it. And there's a giant untapped reserve of, you know, of power and strength within them that they're completely, most of them are completely unaware of, that's called the subconscious, that if they just turn that loose on it, that, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Stefan Molyneux has said, it's like your conscious mind is a laser. And it's really useful for doing things lasers can do, but you wouldn't want to, you know, walk around at night using a laser to try to see with. But, you know, your unconscious mind is like, you know, a giant moon that's lit up dimly the entire landscape. You know, it has all this potential. Of course, the one thing he misses is that, you know, if you really care about something, that's that subconscious mind, when it wakes up, you can focus it to a laser that's 100,000 times more powerful than your conscious mind's capabilities. So, you know, do anybody that's out there that's struggling with any issues that, you know, or something that they want to get into and they just don't feel they have what it takes, do some research, you know, Google up things like lucid dreaming and stuff like that, and how to use your subconscious mind. Things like, you know, how to set your internal clock to wake up in the morning, because, you know, you can use those same tools to achieve these other goals that you want to achieve too. Not just waking up in the morning. You know?
I'm fascinated with lucid dreaming. I'm glad you brought that subject up. I've been practicing that for, oh man, at least 15, 20 years, and it's just, you can do so much and learn so much while you're asleep. It's just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. So do you do the card trick?
No, I actually kind of went a different route. The guy who started talking to me about the whole deal was telling me about, like, right before you go to sleep, you start to visualize something like, you know, I visualized a red car and me opening the door and then getting in it and going through the whole process of what you do. And then after a certain point of doing this whole deal, you get to realize that you are actually in the dream state as opposed to being out into the... It is really cool. And you can...
I'll have to give that a try.
You can literally create the world around you while you're in there. It's really amazing. You make you a safe spot somewhere in your dream that at any moment you could just pop right over there if the dream starts to go awry, and then you can just pop over there and everything's all good. But it's really incredible, because people talk about out of body experiences and stuff like that, but while you're in this dream, you can literally feel the wind. You can feel everything, like just like you felt as if you were wide awake, and it's just amazing. But it starts off, just like I said, just a little simple process of right before you go to sleep, you start to visualize a car in your head, and at first you might have the problem where you can't literally get the picture in your head. You know, it's kind of in and out. But once you get to that stage, to where you can start visualizing the car, you open the car door, you climb in, you do all the things like you do when you're going to start your car and go for a journey. And when you get to that final point right there, you really literally realize that you are actually in your dream, controlling everything that's going on in your dream. And it's really cool.
Right. Well, I was going to say, the trick that I was taught was just, you know, you keep a card on you that says something on it, some little phrase. Mine just, you know, did the standard that they gave in the tutorial on how to do this, which is, you know, this is not a dream. Just, you know, basic Arial font. And when you flip that over, if you do that during things that you normally do all day long, you're going to do those things in your dreams at some point. And because you're conditioned to do that, every time you do that thing, you're going to do it in your dream too. But when you flip that card back over, you've got about a 99.9% chance that it's not going to be right. Something's going to be wrong with the text. Even though you just looked at it and it was fine, when you flip it over, it's not going to be right anymore. And that's the trigger, because you're watching for that. You check to make sure it still looks right when you're awake. So when you're asleep and you check to make sure it's right and it's not right, you know, it doesn't wake you up, but, you know, it makes you conscious of the fact that you're dreaming.
Well, that's why this particular system, I like this one, because you go from start to finish knowing that you're going into your dream to control it. And so there's no, I understand what you're talking about the card deal, that, you know, it tells you in your dream and that kind of stuff to, you know, bring you conscious or whatever. But from start to finish of the process that I went through, you go into it knowing that the intention, your full intention, is to, when you get into that dream, to not only know that you're dreaming, but know that you have the power to control it, because everything that's going on in your mind is, you know, things that you created, essentially.
Right. Well, I didn't have any problem with that to begin with. I mean, I've had lucid dreams most of my life, so I just wanted to make it more, you know, more poignant to be able to control that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you know, a mind vault. It's a place where I can go to work on things. It's like a giant simulator. I can do anything I want. And, you know, as long as I tell my mind, hey, I want the truth, I don't want you to change reality for me so that, you know, it does what I want. I want to know how things really work. Then I can actually do that. And at that point, I can solve problems that when I wake up, I'm just like, oh, I got the solution. You know, I've been struggling with this for a month. You know, five minutes of dreaming and boom, I have the answer.
Well, see, the good thing about the lucid dreaming thing is when you're in there, you know, in the real world, you got certain limitations to putting things together, whether it be financial or tools-wise or whatever. Yep. But in that world, there's no limitations. You can put it together, right, see if it works, and then come out when you wake up and build it. You know?
Yep. That is exactly it. This is the other thing I like about the lucid dreaming thing, and that's that your subconscious is not fettered at that point by your conscious mind's disbeliefs. Because when you're asleep and you know you're asleep and you know you're dreaming, you're less likely to apply the laws of reality that you have manufactured to the laws of that world. And at that point, you'll begin to experience things in the real world that your subconscious is capable of doing that you would never see normally, and therefore, because you never see it, it keeps reinforcing that it can't be done. All it takes is one person to break a world record, and then all of a sudden, everybody else starts breaking the world record. Look through history, and you know, in all sorts of sports, and this is exactly what you see. And it's, you know, the proof that the mind can hobble you just as much as it can actually lift you up and, you know, give you those wings to fly off into the sunset to get whatever it is you were wanting, you know?
Yep, and in that dream, it is your reality. It's your world. I mean, it's just cool. But, you know, it just goes back to the whole, I believe that people are capable of so much more than what they give themselves credit for, number one, but what society will allow, number two. And, you know, I think that together there's nothing we can't accomplish. It's just, man, the world is so scattered, you know. They're all living their own little realities and their own little bubbles in all different directions, and instead of, you know, actually getting out there and, you know, taking our world, our society in such a positive forward direction, we're kind of, it's like a record with a scratch in it.
Right. Actually, I'd say it's like a record that the whole record is basically
scratched and marred.
There's a giant scratch that runs all the way across it that connects all the rings to their you know, beginnings, so that basically it doesn't, each ring is its own little cosmos, and everybody's a different needle on a different, you know, different path. Every now and then, two needles get on one path, and, you know, great things happen then, but, you know, usually it's just, you know, just that same, you know, a person basically all alone on their own ring, you know, so they never break free of the ring and move forward, you know, they never communicate with each other what they've seen in the other rings. Or, you know, listen to it with somebody else's story about what's in the other ring.
Well, since we brought this network together, and I say we because it wasn't just me. I mean, I put a platform out there, and I pay for it out of my own pocket, that kind of stuff. But I'm not looking for any credit. All I'm trying to do is the same thing everybody else is trying to do, is reach out and talk to other brilliant minds around the world and speed up the process, because I feel like we should be so much further advanced technology-wise, humanity-wise and such. There shouldn't be any starvation or wars or stupidity going on in the world. You know, I know that's reaching, that's really seriously reaching for the ultimate utopia, the ultimate dream of everybody using some common sense, but...
Well, there is something that you can do right now, and that's to spend more time. If you've got kids, spend more time with those kids. Don't just, you know, try to shut them up so you go back to watching your TV or whatever. I mean, there's, you know, plenty of evidence and documentation where basically most of the children in the world, before they're even, you know, able to walk on their own two feet, have been hit and beat repeatedly, you know, smacked around. I mean, they're hitting babies. Well, what do you think that's doing to their subconscious mind so that whenever they grow up, changes them as, you know, as far as the type of person they become, you know?
It's going to make them do the same thing to their kids because you're going to put it in there.
It's much, much worse than that. Man, it's so much worse. I mean, this type of abuse and neglect, it's the abuse is basically a symptom of neglect because somebody doesn't want to invest the time. They don't see the value in their children that, you know, makes them just think, man, I got to put some serious effort into this child. I've really got to sit down and teach them and talk to them and, you know, discuss things with them and, you know, and work with them, right? They don't see the effort and the value, in the effort. So they don't get any nurturing, you know? Instead, they get a swift, you know, stop across the chops or they get, you know, sent to the corner and, you know, ignored. This develops a portion of the brain, for one thing, that actually makes people damaged to where the drugs that they're getting into later on in life, and I'm not talking about, you know, smoking a little weed, I'm talking about serious hardcore drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Prozac and, you know, cocaine and you know, all, I mean, even the fluoridation, these people that are issuing it think it's necessary because the brains are so broken. You know? And all that is it's a temporary fix that when the fix ends, you're even worse off than you started. You were already bad to begin with. All it does is it basically makes them for a moment feel normal. You know? So of course they get addicted to it and keep going back to it in an endless cycle until they eventually, you know, scale up to the most powerful one they can find and eventually OD on this stuff. And it all goes back to them being neglected as children. No one spending any time with them. No one developing their you know, their mind and their body in a healthy manner. You know?
Well, and that all of this should by definition be common sense. But, you know, I got on a mainstream media radio station just yesterday, and it was driving me insane because they're talking about banning this and banning that or whatever, you know. And I'm listening to people calling in and they say, well, we need to ban smoking. We need to ban, you know, this or whatever. And I called in the radio station just to tell them, I was like, you know, people who want to go around banning stuff, you know, really seriously are not very bright. Because,
well, I don't see a problem with banning things. With banning other people.
Listen to my point, and I think you'll agree. I said what the big deal is. If you want to educate somebody, that's good. You should educate somebody against the dangers of and doing all that. But banning is regulation. So you should educate as opposed to regulate because now,
right,
you know, everyone out there is running around, ban this, ban that. And what do you use as your tool for banning? You use the government, and the government
No. Let's get more serious about that, okay? The government is just a name for the real tool. The real tool is a gun.
Well, yeah, but
it's a gun. There's no other way to look at it. It's a gun. Any threat of violence is ultimately a death threat.
But the more
they are threatening, hey, I'm going to hurt you if you don't stop doing it. Hey, I'm going to hurt you more if you do. I'm serious. Okay, if you don't stop doing it, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
in prison, whatever, with prisons, with, you know, whatever, you know, they're threatening
guns.
To kill. So you're getting sucked into that cycle of violence when you slip into the somebody got to make a law.
Yeah, that's the whole key. Make a law, make a regulation. You know, I'm going back to when you was talking about when the kid is growing up. It's all about education. You just educated that person how to be a hateful, abusive individual who, by the time he's 15, 16 years old, he's already on Prozac, Luvox, Ritalin, or some other horse tranquilizer.
Well, at least you're talking about a shortcut. So what you ultimately taught that person is that nothing is worth working for. You should take every shortcut you possibly can and never take any responsibility for your actions.
Well, therein lies the whole key, is that, you know, people want to make the world a better place. It's going to start off for you, the individual, you know. You can only, I wish I could reach out and save the world, man. I wish I could do it. I wish I could run around everywhere like Superman and give everyone everything that they need, but I can't. And so I'm using what tool I got, which is this platform, and my friends around the globe, and we're trying to, you know, troubleshoot and work out common sense solutions in alternative energy and mad science and stuff. But it's going to ultimately lie on your shoulders, because when the apocalypse comes down, I'm not necessarily going to be right there by your side. You're not going to necessarily be able to jump on the internet and search up things. So what you should be doing is searching it up now, downloading it, printing it off, or whatever, but learning that knowledge and knowing that if you enact that knowledge right now, you know, growing, getting the practice of growing food, or getting into the practice of using alternative medicines or alternative energy, then you will be that much more prepared. And you will not only do that, but you will teach your children, if you take them along with the ride with you, on how to learn instead of how to go out and punch their friends in the face and call them, you know, every name under the sun. Am I wrong?
Or using whatever method you have to steal what they have from them, like, you know, the bully at the stealing the lunch money at school, you know.
Yeah, and there was a guy on TV who's talking about how they're not going to prepare for the apocalypse. They're just going to wait around until the apocalypse happens and then go around and take what they need.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because, I mean, that's the general consensus. I mean, that's what this abuse to these children is teaching them.
Yeah, just take what you need.
Get bigger than everybody else, and then take what you want. Make them do everything, you know, for you. And it doesn't matter if you hurt them or not. It doesn't matter if they die when you take their things. All that matters is you got their things. You know, that's what it teaches them.
But the ultimate thing of the whole conversation that we've had right here is that they're not just hurting them, the person that they're hurting. In the long term, they're actually hurting themselves, because we're all interconnected. When you destroy the society that you have to live in just because of greed or whatever, whatever is down the pipe, you're there too.
Yep.
You know?
Depending on how big the pipe is, you might end up dying of old age before you reach that point.
Well,
but, you know,
maybe, but then
are people really that selfish that they don't care about what they leave behind for at least their own offspring, you know? Because sooner or later, somebody's going to pay the price.
Well, normally on a person's deathbed, and I've seen it enough times in my life because I was unfortunate to have to witness, you know, people passing on, but normally on their deathbed, even the hardcore atheist is judging his own life and, you know, trying to figure out, because when you go, you don't know what's on the other side, you know. Maybe you're going into the great dark abyss, but maybe you're not. Maybe there is a higher power, such as the creator on the other side, willing ready to ask you why it is that you did what you did throughout your entire life, you know. And nobody wants to stand before judgment of any kind, you know, and feel that shame or whatever, you know, side of the spectrum they're on the other side. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, nobody gets out of the world alive, you know? So while we're doing all this stuff that we're doing and people are trying to fear-monger each other for money purposes or just for the excitement of the whole deal, you know, every day's got to be a drama, that kind of stuff, you know? They're wasting their life, and they're dragging the feet of humanity. They're not. They're like a boat anchor on a skateboard, man. You know, it's just it don't make sense.
That's why I've been constantly saying, look, man, if you're really that serious about trying to do something and push forward, let's, you know, start seeking out each other and coming together to kind of form a biodome that blocks out all this hate, fear, and anger and whatnot.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, this selfishness and, you know, give me a quick fix and all that. And let's sit down and, you know, as a collective, let's seriously focus on doing things, you know. Let's get an itinerary together and start, you know, literally knocking, you know, one step of the program out at a time until we've completed it, you know.
Well, I'm in it to win it, brother. So I'm listening to any solutions. I'm going to throw on a quick music break so we can get us some coffee and such.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
okay,
I'll throw on a couple of your tunes there and something else. And we'll come back. I'm being interrupted right now. The kids showed up. So I will play a couple of tunes and we'll be right back. How's that sound?
Excellent.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody. Peace and love.
Look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier. 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 Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children. There's girls and boys, well, you're making a choice. And you can think for yourself, or you can bite off my toy. Just clap on your head, jump around, make some noise. I never lied to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too, because we will do. Consume and gobble it up. Come on, show me some love, I'll be blowing you up.
I read the Gazette to catch up on the news. Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers are just taking modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not crickets, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, a land of unregretty.
Steampunk is more than a mere modest dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth at the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Can you hear me? Give my creation fly!
21 gigawatts!
Oh, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. I got my friend Thomas on there, and we're just kind of talking about common sense and all that kind of stuff. How you doing there, brother? You back yet? He ain't got his microphone on. Anyway, if we're to ever get any kind of advancements going on in this world, it's going to come from the ground up, and we've got to try to get people to realize that their talents and their skills is that one extra gear that may be necessary to find the great advancements. I still believe that there's all kinds of technology that's either lost, suppressed, or hidden, or just shoved off into the closet, swept under the rug, or whatever. And we should be so much further advanced than what we are. What do you think, Thomas?
I kind of came in halfway through that because I was still. So.
All right. Well, let me turn this air conditioner off. Let me turn this air conditioner off because I'm freezing to death. Yeah.
Darn that global warming.
Yeah, it's either too hot or it's too cold, man. It's climate disruption. I'm being disrupted. Anyway, I was just basically kind of summing up what we were talking about, common sense or the lack thereof. There's just so, we got an awesome opportunity, man. We got amazing opportunity. This world is so full of resources that we could do so much and should be so much further advanced along. And, you know, maybe some folks just want to go through life tiptoeing through the tulips and just enjoy it, not even worry about anything, you know, or anybody. But I still, you know, I still feel like there's a higher purpose to what we're doing. This all can't just be chaos or an accident, in my belief. And, you know, with that said, if you got any kind of humanity in your heart or whatsoever, then you can't look out into this world and hear the stories being told and not at least have some empathy for your fellow human beings and want to try to make a difference, you know, make it better, ease the burden of somebody.
Right, right.
You know, maybe that makes me crazy or whatever, but that's, you know, mad science isn't just about science, you know, and what makes things tick, everything. There's science, and no matter what you're talking about, there's science in there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go as far as to making it a religion like Scientology, but I do.
That's a totally different other animal. I mean,
yeah.
The whole Scientology thing was actually... you know, primarily coined in order to keep it from being a religion or being seen as a religion.
Yeah, all I want is to use what all these ideas that I've got in my head and use it to benefit the world. You know, I mean, I could just say the heck with it, because, like I said, I'm not rich by any means, but I'm not hurting either. I mean, I could just. You know, shut off my computer, shut off my cell phone and my communications to the outside world and just live the rest of my life in peace, because it's peaceful out here, you know. But how could I do that knowing that somebody else in this world is doing without, you know? How could I do that as a human, you know? It goes back to that little scales that I was talking about, the scales of justice. They always have to be balanced out, you know. If I'm doing good, I want everybody else to be doing good as well. And so if I got a little bit of knowledge acquired, you know, from prior teachers that got me to this point, I feel like I owe society something as opposed to them owing me, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's just what I'm made of, dude. You know? My buddy Thomas is over there typing a letter to his pal. You should bring him on the show, man.
no chance of that. He doesn't have a mic, so.
Oh, well, he could use sign language.
Yeah, because that translates really well.
On radio? Oh, man. Well, you know, hey, even mad science... chronic geniuses or whatever can, you know, make an error or a blooper or something like that. So, oh well. Anyway,
I still think that, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, doing things on your own. The world is a really big place, and it gets just a little overwhelming, even, you know, little tasks in the world. So, you know, having like-minded people working together on a similar, you know, on the similar projects all individually out there in the world, they're going to, you know, they're not going to get anywhere near as far, you know, with the effort they put into it as they will if they'll come together and work together toward that common goal, you know.
That's why I think this platform is worth holding on to, you know. I think it's worth the effort because, you know, we're talking about a vast resource of already put down information that's all over the web. I mean, you could take the web to extremes, to the trashy zone, or you could take the web to the extremes of the best research and, you know, basically looking back up things you already knew kind of thing. And then to top that off, you not only have the research that you personally done, but you have access to friends out there who have done their research as well. And as I'm working on a project and I'm saying, I keep trying to figure out this way to do this certain deal, and they say, oh, well, I read this article some time back about exactly that, just that subject. Their knowledge and your knowledge combined, man, do you realize how powerful the people are out there if they really realized what it is that they have before them?
Well, it's. I don't think that that's the problem, though. I think people are doing that already. I think the problem is they're not using it for the communication capabilities that it has in order to basically bring their skill sets together.
Well, you and I are, and most of the researchers that are in our circle are. You know, we come up with ideas together and solutions.
I think we're just scratching the surface of that right now. I think we really need to give that some more time to mature before we can make any decisions or claims or anything. But I mean, that's the goal I'm pushing for. I mean, you know, you got something you're trying to do. You've got a network of five people that basically each one of them has their own particular skill set. Let's pass that project around whatever way we have to and, you know, get it completed.
Well, let's just
Don't struggle with something that you don't know a whole lot about and you have it geared up for when there's somebody else that's already done that struggle and gotten that task out of the way and is capable of completing that aspect of whatever it is you're working on. That you can just drop it in the mail and send it to them, let them do their thing with it, and then send it off to the next guy, you know?
Well, let's just phrase it like this. We got our foot in the door then, and we need to get the rest of us in the door.
Yeah, before the door gets slammed down on the toe again.
Yeah, and all the researchers behind us need to bum rush the door like my dog does every time I come in my lab.
There you go. Yeah, that's it.
But, like I said, man, mad science isn't just about, you know, free energy and stuff like that. It's the frustration for me for the fact that we should be so much further advanced. You know, when I was a kid, I used to talk about how, you know, by the year 2000, we'd be flying around in cars and stuff like the Jetsons, you know. And then 2000 got there, and heck, we were still on scooters and stuff. I mean, come on, man, I got ripped off. I waited all those years, kind of rushed my life just so I could get to the space age and see all the cool technology, you know. But, hey, what can I say, man? I'm still having fun with it.
Right.
I'm enjoying my life, Thomas. I'm not trying to complain or anything. I just wish that other people out there could really recognize the blessings that are before them. And utilize the knowledge that they have at their fingertips, the combined brain power of people from all over the globe. You know, we all agree we don't want each other to suffer, and we don't want to go over and send our kids over to kill their kids and so on and so forth. And as far as free energy, like I said, there is nobody in this world who can't convince me that free energy isn't real. I mean, the things I've saw. Cultus and RWG Research just put out a video here recently of RWG Research's a lab. He's got an amazing lab going on. It's incredible. I'm kind of not jealous, but I am jealous. It's beautiful. And one of the places that they were talking about is I don't know, somehow or another there was a link to the static motor, from the static motor to a research where they do, doggone it, what's the phrase I'm looking for? They're actually picking energy up from the air. They got these 200 and some odd.
The electrostatic motor that he's been working on?
Yeah, but there's a group out there, an actual group out there that is using atmospheric energy. They've got these 200 and some odd foot towers, and on these towers they have these wires that go across there that have fine deals of graphene on it. And these guys are actually picking up 2 kilovolts just out of the air. And they're charging these huge capacitor banks that are about 9,000 volts capacitor banks.
Wow.
And they're getting it right out of the air. Now, on the static, the little atmospheric motor on a small scale is cool. But with 9,000 volts, you can do a lot with 9,000 volts. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so, you know, these guys, and this is real. This is for real. This is actual. I wish I had links to it. I'd pop it out there. I'd have to talk to Cultus. I know he's got links. Or RWG Research. I know he's got links. But, They have patents on all their stuff, and they're still allowing and talking about reproducing. They want you to reproduce what they do so that they can verify the technology and so on and so forth. But
that's one thing about patents that a lot of people don't get, and that is that a patent doesn't tell you you can't make one for yourself. What it does is it provides a blueprint so you can make your own for yourself. It just puts a 20-year hold on you selling it to anybody else.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't benefit from it, though, by using whatever it is for yourself and you know, those that are around you. I mean...
Well, like I say, they encourage people to reproduce their stuff because they want that reproduction as verification of their mm-hmm. technology. But it's real.
And what'll happen is that if you do get a bunch of people that are replicating it, it's going to spread the word until basically those who can't do the reproducing themselves will flock to those people who have the patent. They'll funnel a bunch of resources into those people in the form of money, and they'll be able to upscale all of their technology so they can make refined versions and make sure that these really effective ones are available to everyone. This yep. is a last vestige of the free market, where you know you've got people basically doing something with their resources to make something happen.
What I like most about this atmospheric research group is they actually give Tesla credit for his designs, and you know they based a lot of it off his radiant energy patent, where you know he put a huge sheet of metal up into the air and was grabbing the energy out of the air, because we all know we live in an electric universe, and stars some billion years away from us or even further are sending out energy, and that energy can be picked up, you know. We're floating in a sea of energy. If you think about all the frequencies and all the different wavelengths that are traveling through the air right now, and if you can't tap into that, something's wrong. Even nature, you know, even plants put off energy. You put off energy. So, you know... And people want to say, well, you know, there's no such thing as free energy. Really? Come on, man.
Well, this is the thing, is that on a technical standpoint, no, there isn't any such thing as free energy. But there's energy that, you know, you can use that's readily available, that's already there. You just have to actually expend the resources and the effort to reach out and grab it.
Yeah, well, you know, you may gonna have to pay for your copper wire or your whatever gizmo that you got to tap into the energy grid itself, the natural energy grid. And then, of course, with that comes, you know, common sense. You need to make sure that when you're tapping into this grid, you're not draining the energy out of the something that's going to need to grow a plant or something like that, you know. So, you know, there is things you need to look into as far as what kind of damage you could be doing to the environment at the same time. But it's there. The wind.
The idea that I think the important thing about the concept of quote unquote free energy is that there is no monopoly on the availability of energy. That's a, you know, a fake or you know, I guess facetious, I don't know, it's basically, you know, something they've conjured up with the whole concept of drilling oil out of the ground. Well, we got to go through all this hassle to get to this stuff. There's no other way to get to energy except through this, so you know, show up and bring your dollars to us. It's kind of like, you know, showing up with your dollars to the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church had a monopoly on forgiveness.
Well, once again, there's also the thing about, doggone it, my frame of mind just shot down. Education, man, you know, the knowledge, what you can learn makes all the difference. You know, we're talking about these guys out here that have the monopoly on energy. The system that was created was so inefficient because at that time they weren't thinking about energy efficiency because, you know, coal... You know, wasn't that expensive for them to burn, or wood or anything like that, to make their steam, to turn their turbines, to turn their generators, and so on down the line. So they weren't thinking about trying to save money or any carbon taxes in the planet and that kind of stuff.
They didn't even have the ability to do that because they were still, you know, it's like basically handing a child little ABC blocks and expecting them to build a computer out of it.
Well, my uncle, when he was younger, when, you know, helicopters were still kind of in the news stage, he decided to build him a homemade helicopter. And for his rotor, he used a 2x4. Of course, anybody knows anything about aerodynamics knows that that's not really necessarily the best choice for your propeller, you know. And he's lucky he's alive, and he's lucky, you know, he almost broke his leg because when he fired that thing up, the lawnmower motor that he was running got that thing to spinning, you know, and then eventually started wobbling, and it wasn't balanced out like it should be, and it crashed over on its side. But, you know, he survived it. But there's the difference in knowledge is if he would have took and planed that out like a regular, you know, rotor, he might have actually got that thing off the ground. Who knows? You just gotta do some research, man. You know, we're sitting there paying everybody in the world for things that we could be doing ourselves. You know,
it's called service industry mentality.
Yeah,
you pay people to cook food for you because, well, you know, people have forgotten how to cook. You know, they're scared of cooking because they might, oh my God, I might mess it up. You know, it might not be perfect.
Well, and think
about the food you buy from, you know, McDonald's ain't perfect. It's far from it. So, you know, you have to look at it. The general populace eats at places like McDonald's and Burger King, and you can't get any much worse than, you know, the food that they're providing. So the bar has been set pretty low at this point. So why are you going out and buying unhealthy food that's made by somebody else?
Yeah,
and paying for food and for them to make it when you can just make it yourself and save a few dollars and maybe make something better for yourself.
Then complain because you're calcium or iron deficient. You know, back in the day, you know, from start to finish, them old farmers and people out there on the plains and all that kind of stuff, the people out there surviving in the Wild West or wilderness or whatever, they knew start to finish what was exactly what was in their food, you know, because they did the whole deal from start to finish. And we talk about big corporations like McDonald's and stuff like that. Now, I'm not fixing to want to get sued by McDonald's, but I don't know what they put in their stuff, you know. I don't know how they prepare it or what kind of chemistry might be in their stuff, you know. It could be good, it could be bad. But either way, you know, as well as I do, that the modern-day corporations out there, they like to make shortcuts to save money. You know, go down to Mexico because Mexico doesn't have all the regulations as far as the EPA goes, and you can dump crud down in their water system or trash the place, and you're not going to get fined thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars because they don't have laws like that, you know. But over here, there's a law for everything, man. If you fart, you're breaking the law. So
global warming.
Yeah.
Putting that methane in the air.
I'm just saying, man, the common sense, man, it to me, it's like, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating.
Well, I also say that service industry mentality, though, is pretty much what's pushing all these people who are you know, they're claiming that there's a big economic collapse coming. Well, it's because the ones who really know what they're talking about is because they know we're consuming an awful lot of resources and we're not making anything.
Yeah, one thing that makes it even worse is the moral decline of society. When you got somebody who you're living in a service-oriented society, and then you got to worry about when you go to the restaurant whether or not that zit-faced teenager is pissed off the world and going to spit in your food. Yeah,
you know, right.
Or drops the hamburger in the floor.
They're pushing to give them more money, and you know they're gonna lie to everyone and not tell them that the way they're gonna give them all this more money is by devaluing all the money that you have worked all your life in order to obtain up to this point, all the value you put into your life and you stored it in those dollars or into that job set that's paying you X amount of money an hour. That X amount of money an hour isn't gonna be worth as much anymore because they had to print more money to make sure that those kids at McDonald's are making $15 an hour now.
Well, brother, I kind of like that dome idea that you were talking about, where we create this giant dome and create our own society within that dome and only let like-minded individuals in. Because the brilliance that would go on in there. We would be like the difference between Atlantis and the caveman, you know, because we would use common sense and our and things that we've learned from knowledge that we've gathered throughout the entire world, you know, everything that we've researched and studied. And we'd have water purification systems, everybody be healthy and happy, and everybody be getting along, and we'd be making more advancements, you know, flying around, and they would be calling us aliens from outer space, because they'd be like, look, that, I just saw a flying saucer go by, man. Must be aliens, you know. No, it was
that. Well, the one thing that comes out of a collective of people gathering together and really working on something they really love and care about is the profit. And by profit, I mean that you create more than you need. You know, we'll create a profit of excess energy. We'll create a profit of excess usable resources and usable, you know, products and stuff like that, which can end up benefiting other people. You know, you can sell it off for dollars, sure. You know, that's the first thing everybody thinks about. But how about if we sell it off for education, you know?
Well, how about this?
If you want our excess goods, you got to learn something.
How about
that,
this?
That's the coin of the realm. If you show us you learned something, we'll give you something. Instead of giving you dollars, you know, instead of you giving us dollars, you give us, you know, test results to let us know that you're actually using your brain, and then you can, you know, buy goods from us with that coinage of, you know, learning.
How about this? And I'm speaking hypothetically, of course. How about I hook an energy device up to my power grid over here and start feeding enough energy into the system that it starts making everybody's meter run backwards, and so they don't have to pay near the bill.
Well, that's what's going to happen, is it's just going to run your meter backwards. They're going to have to give you a slice of money, and they're going to sell that power off to everybody else. It'll make everybody else's, you know.
So they already got a loophole in the loophole.
Right. So they've got a system set up where they'll buy it for one price, which is lower than what they sell it for, and turn around and sell it at the other price, which is higher than what they bought it for.
Man, I tell you what.
So now they're making money without having to do anything except being a middleman. They're a Walmart at that point.
Oh, man. See, yeah. I'm just going to have to just put the diagrams out there to everybody and his brother and say, build it.
That, yeah. And see, now that's what if we set up a system and come together as a group and start working on things, within a few years, we're going to have all these excess resources that we can, and excess equipment that we don't need anymore, that we can bring over to other people and give it away if we want.
Well, I'm in, brother.
It's profit to the, and that's the thing about profit, is you can hoard it or you can give it away.
I'm in.
Or you can reinvest it. You know, and what I say we do is we reinvest it into other people's education, you know.
I'm in it to win it. If that's the path we got to go down in order to get society in a different direction, because the path that we're on is, I don't care, anybody can disagree with me, but the path that humanity's on right now, we are leading to sure destructions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, some people take it to extremes and everything's a drama, but I'm just saying that, you know, you can't keep poisoning your people, you can't keep poisoning the planet, you can't keep allowing people to blow each other up and people to starve to death all over the world.
You also can't eat everything in the fridge without ever putting anything back.
Yeah.
And expect more food to just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what the service field industry is doing, is it's expecting the rest of the world to show up and restock our shelves. What do you think is going to happen if we have Mexico and China and all these other people showing up to restock our shelves? And, you know, we got all these regulations, and they stop stocking our shelves, or they insist to be allowed to skirt around those regulations.
Well, if China really seriously wanted to whack us, which wouldn't be in their financial interest because they make a lot of money off America, but if they seriously wanted to whack us, they wouldn't have no problem about getting enough stuff through to whack each every individual that goes to Walmart to shop.
Well, right. Here's the issue, though, with, you know, a financial interest. It only benefits you financially if the finances are good for something.
Well, yeah. So
unless the rest of the world is still willing to take dollars in order to give them what they want, it's not, you know, the moment basically everybody else starts saying, you know what, those dollars are worthless, we're not taking those, all they do is just keep pumping more and more of them out, which is what the world is slowly doing right now,
Well,
you know, it's been going on for some time, but I mean, these countries are beginning to dump our treasuries and our dollars and saying we're not taking them anymore. Russia is saying no. You want this oil and whatnot we've got, you got to work in the ruble. We don't trust that dollar anymore. We don't want that deflating, falling apart, you know, dead balloon anymore. Get it out of here.
The first red flag for Americans should be the fact is reach your hand in your pocket and pull out your change, you know, and take a look at that penny, you know. That penny is copper-coated zinc. You know, that's not even a penny anymore. As far as I'm concerned, it should be copper, you know. Precious metals, the nickels aren't even all nickel anymore, and the dimes aren't even all silver, and the quarters aren't even all silver. So, by definition, the change you got in your pocket is already monopoly money. It's just as valuable as plastic. And so, what's the point? If you can't understand, you're being literally screwed. You know, these folks are making billions of dollars, and it doesn't matter if they play with monopoly money, because with the monopoly money that they keep on counterfeiting, they can still buy their limousines and their fuel for their jets, because they're stupid enough to accept it.
Yeah, they can still use that as a hammer on the people.
Yeah.
And they're only getting away with this because we have regulated everything else out of existence.
Yeah, which brings me back to my initial point.
They now hold a monopoly because we allowed them to build all these, you know, keep making regulations and making bans and whatnot. Banks can't make their own money.
Yeah, instead of going out banning everything, just start educating people, man. I mean, we all know if you smoke, there's a possibility you might get lung cancer. But it's not just smoking that's going to give you lung cancer. There's microscopic particles that fly off of tires that you're breathing into your lungs. And then the same person who's worried about secondhand smoke is going in their house and desanitizing it with things like Lysol and Pine Sol and bleach. And they got all these air fresheners putting carcinogenics in their air. And so even that, you know, they want to blame it on the secondhand smoke, but they done poisoned themselves anyway by the crud they put in there. And how many of the average Joes out there even read a warning label that says, you know, possible side effects? If it says there's a possible side effect on there, chances is it's not a side effect. It is an effect
of using this product. That's kind of the issue, though, is that you've got a division. It's like a binary world out there. You've got people who absolutely refuse to read those labels, don't care about it, don't want to know about it, and then you've got those people who obsess over it and read every single one of them, and they're living in a tiny, you know, emotional and psychological shell.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're scared of the entire world, you know. They're not willing to actually do anything with what they've got.
There's a fine line in there, but it goes down to the simple of antibacterial soap, man. You know, your body needs some bacteria. Believe it or not, there are good bacterias. Mm-hmm. And if it says on the label that it kills 98% of all bacteria, chances are it's killing the good stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if your hand's all cracked out and dried and burning and you're wondering why, it's probably because you sucked all the oil out of your hands and killed off the good bacteria. You know, mm-hmm. You got to get back to nature. You got to get educated. You got to learn things that are going to benefit you. Don't listen to the doctor when the doctor says, well, you can't use hemp oil. That don't work. That's just a myth. But maybe hemp oil does work. Have you tried it? Who knows? They say that hemp oil will cure diabetes in between 7 to 30 days. Maybe it's true, maybe it ain't true, but you won't know unless you check it out for yourself and do your research. It's all down to education.
Right. Yeah, you got to understand what causes these issues and then you know, look and see what benefits come off of something when they start making claims. Because unfortunately, the reason why most people aren't willing to you know, try all this stuff is because they've been sold too much snake oil.
Well, there's a brilliant lady out there, and I can't remember if her last name is Davis or Day, but her first name's Lorraine. She wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen, and in this book, and I suggest that everybody look up Diseases Don't Just Happen and check out this book, but in this book, she sits down and explains in graphic detail what causes disease like diabetes. You know, your body's a chemistry set, and if you throw your chemistry out of balance, like coffee, for example, you know, we all know that caffeine is addictive. And so every morning you get used to drinking your coffee, and then one day you're out of coffee, and you get wake up, you got this headache, and you don't realize that the caffeine is dehydrating you. And whenever you ain't got no coffee, or even when you do got coffee, the more coffee that you drink, you notice your joints are starting to be like arthritic. And if you do have arthritis, it makes it a little more intense because you're taking moisture out of your joints, you know. And so you got pain equated with the doggone coffee that you're drinking. And there's caffeine and sodas and sugars and all kinds of this stuff. And if you drink a gallon of sugar water every day, you're going to throw your chemistry out of balance. And then whenever you don't have that gallon of sugar, your body has built-in deals that says, you know, I need this. I need whatever amount that I've been normally accustomed to. And suddenly you are feeling sick because your body doesn't have what it used to have. It's like going on a diet. Most women fail on their diet because it's like they call it a boomerang effect. When they go on a diet, they'll starve themselves for a couple weeks, maybe even a month, you know, just eating rabbit food and stuff like that. And then when they start eating, their body's like, well, I don't know when the next time I'm going to get nutrients, so I'm going to start storing as much of this as I can. And they double their weight.
It lowers their metabolism from having lowered it.
Yeah.
The best diet you can go on if you really wanted to change your diet, change your weight, is to go on a lifestyle change where you change your eating habits a little each day. Don't just, you know, jump right in and change everything right away.
Yeah,
look
get
at,
out
know,
there
the
and
things
play.
You're eating, and what do you need and what don't you need? How much energy do you really use throughout the day? And then just start migrating toward that goal and let your body acclimate itself to it so that your desires and your psychological wants and whatnot and food-wise don't force you to return to your original habit.
Get out there and play like you did when you were a kid, you know, or play. Get out there and chase the grandchildren around or something like that. Get some exercise.
Well, yeah, eating the right foods too. If you migrate your eating habits a little at a time until you're eating foods that actually give you energy, you'll be able to do that. You know, don't expect it to happen overnight. That's the thing. You know, if you try to force something to happen overnight, guess what? Once you stop forcing it, it's going to happen overnight where it's going to snap right back to the way it was.
Well, and that brings me back to my point there. The world didn't get in a mess the way it didn't get in a mess overnight. And me being like a sponge, I had to come to a realization that there's no way that I can fix the entire world except for one positive pebble at a time. And so I had to get myself out of that mindset where the doomsday mindset where I'm so paranoid and I'm not living my life, I'm not enjoying my life because I'm worried about everything that's going on in the world and including my friends. Because as I'm on this network, I watch some of my friends suffering and I listen to them arguing amongst each other. And they're losing sight of the whole purpose, the whole reason for us even being here on these networks, you know.
Right. Or on the earth in general.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got to hold on to this, folks. We got to hold on to these networks. And we got to keep expanding these networks and keep expanding and sharing the information that we're talking about.
Well, let's not let the network become another divisionary thing where it keeps us separated apart either.
No,
if it means to get together, we should definitely do it. Maybe the first thing we need to do is we need to get together and, plan like a conference, a mad science or a nice little round table conference where everybody can come together in one central location and everybody who can make it makes it, you know?
Yeah, those who can't, we can Skype them in.
Well, and if you can make it and you've got excess that you can help somebody else who, you know, can't quite make it, but if they had a little more, then, you know, let every person we can get in that door, the better, you know?
Well, right now, I've got about 5 acres of land, and I'm fixing to buy another 3.5 acres of land, and so there's enough room right here for a whole lot of people. So if you want to have the conference right here in the heartland of the great old U.S. of A., then we can do it here. We got the room, and we will have the power, the electricity, everything we need right here. So, you know, if we all want to start to work on something like that, I'm offering my property for everybody to come here, and let's just do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. That That's a good start right there. I don't know what kind of surroundings you got around there. So.
Oh, I'm sitting on a water table, so we're not going to run out of water. We've got
well water.
Yeah, we got fruits. We got berries. We got nuts. I found out that I had some. What do they call them? Not pecans, but doggone it. Either way, I got nut trees and walnut trees, and I got fruit trees growing, and I'm going to be putting in a whole entire orchard, and, you know, before it's all said and done, it's going to be my little slice of heaven out here, and, you know, it's just everything that a person would need to actually survive in the worst-case scenario is on this property. I mean, this place, to me, is like gold. You know, it's just so cool. But it's a start, you know. It's a platform like Shaziz Radio, you know. I don't limit Shaziz Radio to Shaziz Radio Network. I'm talking about Awake Radio, No Borders, and Shake and Wake Radio, and We Roar, and all the other networks affiliated, even the rebroadcasters, all that. But, you know, I'm willing to send somebody over to an entirely different network as long as whenever they go over there, they get good, positive information, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's all about to me, you know? If I have resources...
That's the only issue I have with some of the discussions and whatnot that I see going on out there is that a lot of it's just fear porn, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sick of that. I'm sick of people being afraid that they can't live their life happy, you know.
If you're going to discuss something that you think other people need to know about, the first thing you should really consider is, can they do anything about it? Are you going to provide a solution along with your explanation of a problem? Or are you just going to stress them out so that they can't use the energy they have to, you know, create solutions for things that they have the potential to solve?
Yeah, and you know what? In my own personal religious belief, it says that no man knows the time or day that he'll come like a thief in the night. And so with that said, if I'm going to sit around and wait for the doomsday to show up and just skip out on my life and just sit around and be paranoid or whatever all the way till that particular point in time shows up, I've just wasted an entire lifetime. Since it was said that no man knows the time of the day, I figure, well, while I'm in the waiting room for doomsday, I'm going to get something done that's going to benefit the world in case this time of day doesn't come for the next 1,000 years. You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and then what I'm talking about is, you know, you got those people that are they're always talking about how, oh, they've got, you know, this, or they can do that, or they, you know. And, you know, that's not, none of that is constructive. Not one bit of that is constructive. I mean, worrying about whether the flies around you are little tiny helicopters that they're watching you is not going to get anything done.
Well, if I find one like that, I'm putting it under a microscope because I want to know what makes it tick.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
I think our time would be spent better, though, invested in, you know, developing something that's going to benefit us. Like you're talking about that Atmos motor, you know, or that new graphene system for, you know, collecting electricity out of the air and, you know, powering your house.
Well, you know. And there you go. See, there are positive, we can do now solutions right there, you know. We know we can make a windmill. We know we can make an earth battery. We know we can build solar. We know it. We already know it. So while we're waiting for the Holy Grail, let's get together and let's help each other get the technology, the resources to at least take us, if not fully off the grid, partially off the grid, so that we can, instead of spending $300, $400, maybe $800 a month on our light bills, we can develop more research with those extra funds that just now came open. You see what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. That's the key right there, is stop worrying about getting off the grid. Start unburdening yourself.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of extra work in the spare time you have in order to make more spare time down the road, you know?
Well, if we
the more leverage, the more effort you put into basically creating leverage, the easier it is in the future to get more leverage, you know?
If we throw energy saver bulbs in every light socket in our house and we save $1 per bulb per month, then there's an extra few bucks that we can actually use to buy some copper wire or some parts for more experiments, you know? That's the way I look at it.
Or like you were saying, solar cells and batteries, you know. Basically,
yep.
that couple dollars is now, you know, $2 or $3 or $4 more that you have access every month. I mean, it just keeps leveraging up until eventually if you really push this to its limit, you will eventually become completely self-sufficient, and you'll do it in less time than it took for you to basically, you know, get the world to support you through whatever means, whatever effort you put out into the world to get them to do what they're doing, you know. So now, not only are you taking care of all your own stuff, but you have excess time to work with that you would never have had to work for somebody else. Because, I mean, their whole goal, the rest of the world's whole goal when it comes to businesses and whatnot, is for you to work for them more and them to give you less.
Well, and then that, and we're getting down to the wire here before we got to shut it off, but then that, the knowledge that you will acquire in the process of getting yourself self-contained, like you were saying, is such value, because you not only be able to, you know, take care of yourself, but if anything was to ever occur, you know, your neighbor looks across the fence and sees a big old smile on your face and says, "Hey, brother, I notice you're always happy. What the heck's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm not paying the electric man like you are, and if you come on over here, I'll show you how it is that I'm doing it, and maybe it'll benefit you, and you'll have a smile on your face, too. What do you think?"
Right. So, well, and that's the best way to keep the wolves at bay, is to basically eliminate their, you know, their hunger.
We can do this thing, man. We can do it. I got faith in it, and I'm not willing to wait around for those who want to drag their feet on it. I'm a put up or shut up kind of guy. So, you know, I got land. I'm offering, if somebody wants to have a big get together with all the mad scientists, and we spend a week or two and troubleshoot ideas and have a big summit, I'm hip. I would love to have people from all over the world. We can broadcast it so everyone else can share. And those who can't make it there, we can have them via Skype. We can make a good event out of it. And I got music equipment, too, so we can play some tunes while we're at it. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan, man.
We'll have it the 2014 Bash of the Century, Knowledge Bash. Anyway, we're down to the wire, and I got to get ready to turn this over to the Hope Show. So with that said, Thomas, why don't you throw your YouTube out there real quick so people know they can come over and check out your stuff and your website, because I want them to see your creativity, man.
Well, I've got, the BorgSteamFactory.com website. I've got my YouTube handle is Morph Trust, MorphTrust. That's Morph like Morpheus, just the ended at the PH and then add trust on the end of that. I've got an eBay account that I'm throwing a few things out there people might be interested in. The handle for that is Face Smiths. Like, you know, you've got a face, F-A-C-E, Smith, like you, a guy who basically turns iron into useful goods. So,
cool. You know. Well, I recommend everybody out there, get over there and check out them links that he's talking about, man. You got to see he's got talent, you got talent, we all got talent. There ain't nothing that we can't accomplish if we start, using what it is we got. You know, then. So with that said, I'm starting to cut into Beverly's Hope Show. Peace and love to everybody. Thank you, Thomas, for joining me on the Mad Science. And if you're available tomorrow for the Knights of the Round Table, that'd be cool too. So we'll just play it by ear. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, take care. Stay tuned for Beverly's Hope Show.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.